I couldn't explain it, but I knew that if I let them in, I might never come back. Welcome to the Oddity Archive with Evan and David. All right. Let me remember how I was going to start this episode. So my daughter has a propensity to latch on to certain songs. Do you want to guess what song she's been running around the house singing lately?
Is it pertaining to the season, or this is like a pop track? Can I get like a little clue?
Under the bridge, reading a book, approached by these kids.
Is it a Sam the Sandown Clown original?
Sam the Sandown Clown. Yeah, I've listened to that song about 20 times. That was a brilliant work of art.
Yeah, thank you. It was a great challenge to wrap out the last episode. And I'll even find them like at work humming, like, humming out by the bridge. But yeah, we'll have to get a little more of that in there. I think that'll really help with the viewer count if we dip a little more into hip hop.
I agree. When you released the episode, when I listened to it on Spotify, was the first time that I heard that song. Mm-hmm. And it was just amazing. I had zero clue what direction you were going to go with that.
I love the trust that you have too, that I'm like, all right, this episode's live. And you're like, okay, well, I hope we don't get canceled.
I did have to hold back from just fast forwarding to the end just to hear your song.
Oh, so you actually waited through the whole episode to hear
it? I did. I always do a full listen through because I'm still in that mode where I'm like, I need my listen to count towards our listen count.
Yeah, right. But no, I sent it to Jess and obviously she had no context of the episode. So she's like, yeah, it's a banger. And I was like, well, I mean, I don't imagine why there's like random Michael Jackson sounds at the end unless you heard the episode. But, you know, she lives with me, so she kind of gets it.
Yeah. So, again, excellent work on that.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to get more of that in there. It was fun.
And then another shout out on excellent audio work. Shout out to Sean for giving us our Halloween theme. As per usual, me having no idea how to explain the things that I want to exist in the world, I was like, do you think Sean would be down for doing a Halloween version of the theme song? And we were in a group chat and you're like, well, what are you looking for? And I was like, make it Halloween-y.
We're like, a lot of slide whistles. That'd be great.
So yeah, shout out to him for getting that out there.
Yeah, thanks, Sean.
Good little change of pace at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, get in the spirit.
So it's Halloween week.
It is.
So what are you going to be for Halloween? Do you have a costume planned?
You know, it's one of those things where like throughout the year, me and Jess always be like, oh, that'd be like a fun couple's costume to do. And then we don't write it down and kind of forget. And then the holiday comes and then we're just like, all right, let's just sit here and carve pumpkins and drink wine instead. we're always down to get in costume mode. Just haven't also had like a place to go and make the costume worth it. Like I feel like we need a good Halloween party or event and then we'd actually like commit. The problem is we haven't had anywhere to like put it on display. We'd go wild with it if we could.
Yeah, it's probably not enough to just put the costumes on to hand candy out.
Yeah, or just like hang out and watch movies. It'd be a little weird. I don't want to like make out with Freddy Krueger. It'd be a little, you know.
Well, you know, hey, I don't know what you're into.
Yeah, don't yuck my yums, but not my thing. You guys got anything going?
Yeah. So my kids get really into Halloween. They usually pick out their costumes like the previous Halloween. So this year I got a Disney princess and a minion.
Nice.
And then Lauren, my wife, for the first time we watched Ted Lasso and she decided that she wanted to be Trent Krim.
Okay.
The independent.
I like it.
She was like, I could be that person. I could dress up as that person. I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to be Ted Lasso then.
Okay. I thought you'd be like Juno Temple's character.
So last year, the whole family was Mario people. But the year before that, I don't know if you remember, you watched Stranger Things?
I saw the first two seasons maybe, and it was good. I just like didn't keep up with it.
So season three or four, whatever the last season is, I forget the guy's name, but there was this like stoner pizza delivery guy that had this perfectly straight dark hair.
Yeah.
And she bases what she's going to dress up as on what she can do with her hair.
Okay.
And so she made her hair super straight and got a pizza delivery shirt from the show.
Okay.
So she went as the pizza delivery boy and I went as 11 because I like have super short hair. I got a pink dress. I did the whole thing.
Okay, nice.
And so this year she's going as Trent Crim, the independent, and I'm going as Ted Lasso.
Nice.
Much to, I don't think she realized when she started down this path that it would involve me having to grow my mustache out.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
So I've been growing it out for past like at least a month and it is just a situation.
It's looking good.
Right.
Yeah, it's looking bushy. You're getting there.
Yeah, if I go sideways, it like launches out. So, you know, come Halloween, I'll be clean shaven other than the stash.
Right. You're normally a beard guy, right? Like the full deal?
Yeah, normally I have a full beard. I think this will be the first time my kids see me without a full beard. So that'll be exciting.
I love when kids like the dad shaves and then the dad walks out. And then the kids like freak out because they think it's somebody else.
That might happen.
Yeah.
So that leads into tonight's episode, because I don't think any of the stories we're going to talk about tonight actually involve Halloween, but it's a good cautionary tale for when you're handing out candy, something to look for.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about the black-eyed kids.
So I also want to give a quick disclaimer. I am on the tail end of a cold, so when I laugh, it may sound a little like a smoker cough. It's not a habit that I picked up since the last episode. I do not chain smoke, but just in case I sound a little scary when I laugh, it's just a bit of that going on.
Menthols or non-menthols?
I'm a Newport kind of guy. People who smoke, I feel like, are always like, oh, they must be an actor because they smoke Newports or stuff like that. I'm like, do cigarette culture have these like weird microcosms of brand you pick, or cowboy killers? I've heard of those.
Cowboy killers.
Oh. Yeah, Red Marlboros are called cowboy killers because they had that spokesperson guy. And then,
Okay. I don't know anything about cigarettes other than every once in a while when I'm behind somebody in line in like the cigarette line at the grocery store, they get really specific with what cigarettes they want.
Can I get some 88 Slims? And I'm like,
I want the red box Slims, long light with the filter. and then inevitably the cashier goes back there and is like, these ones? And they're like, nah, two to the left, up one, back row.
Honey, come on. I gotta get out of here. It's always like a sassy country woman, I feel like, too.
Yeah, they know exactly where the cigarettes they want are.
Can I just come back there?
Can I just come around and pick them out?
I'll just grab them. That'll make all of our lives easier. Yeah.
So that's the extent of my cigarette knowledge. But so do you know anything about the black-eyed kids? Is that a term you've ever heard?
No, I think when you brought it up, I was like, is this a black-eyed peas adjacent sort of deal, or like them as kids? Maybe they had some spooky event. I've never heard of it at all.
Do we need a black-eyed peas parody about the black-eyed kids at the end of this? Just think about it.
Yeah, well, let's see what the story is and then I'll see what I can kind of come up with there. Yeah.
So this story, there's like sort of an origin story, and then I've got three or four other encounters of people that have supposed to have seen the black-eyed kids. This is just a really creepy topic for me. So I think it fits Halloween week. If you're out there, you're handing candy out, stare directly at the children in the eye. Check all of their eye colors before giving them any candy. You won't appear creepy at all to the parents.
That's, I mean, a little bit on the eugenics track, but I guess.
Hold on, little Billy. Open your eyes. Open your eyes.
No green-eyed kids get Tootsie Rolls at this house. You understand me?
If you see a child that has fully black eyes,
oh, okay,
don't give them any candy.
In that case, I can side with that.
Yeah, okay. Green-eyed children, good. That's good.
I have green eyes, so like, if anything, double candy. We're great. We're great people.
There you go. Double candy.
Okay.
So, like I said, the one origin story, and then I think I got three or four other stories. We'll just see how many we get through. But full transparency here, I did no fact checking. I didn't go super deep down the research rabbit hole. I just wanted to have fun talking about the black-eyed kids on Halloween week and just enjoy ourselves for an episode.
Yeah, sounds great.
Because we've had some research-heavy episodes. The Mary Celeste, that one got pretty dense. The episode we're going to come up with next November might end up being a two-part episode just because of how dense all the info is.
Okay.
So we're taking a lighter touch here and we're just going to have fun.
Our first two-parter, potentially.
Yeah, it'll be cool and labor-intensive.
I was about to say, for you or for me? And I was like, oh, right, both.
Yeah, both.
Yeah.
So this whole situation, the whole Black Eyed Kids situation, the first like recorded instance of them coming about is in 1996.
Okay.
And this is known as the Brian Bethel encounter. Of course, that's the name of the guy that encountered the Black Eyed Children.
Brian with a Y or an I?
An I, B-R-I-A-N.
Okay. Classic Brian.
Brian Bethel, if you're out there, please stop ignoring my emails.
Oh, you found his email?
Oh, I found his email. I've emailed him at least twice asking if he would come on the podcast and speak with us. He has not responded. I'm a little offended.
Do you think these people get emails like once a week? Or I feel like I'd be like, oh, sweet, a chance to talk about my story. Or is it like a daily thing? Like, oh my God, this again?
I don't know.
I guess I should hear what happens to him first. If he like gets pantsed at school by a ghost, it's like, I don't really want to talk about that, dude.
So I feel like he would be more apt to reply to stuff because he is a journalist.
Okay.
So, you know, getting his story out there. Yeah, he understands why people are getting in touch with him and stuff.
And you linked him to the Mad Gasser episode, so he knows we're legit.
How did I link him to the Mad Gasser episode?
It was a joke that he doesn't want to talk to us because he thinks we just make fart sounds for an hour.
Oh, I sent him the link to it.
Yeah, he's like, no, I'm not going on this thing.
Yeah, that one, that the Mad Gasser episode is our worst performing episode that we've done.
I hope it's because of the title, because I worked so hard finding so many different fart sound effects to work into that. So if you haven't listened to it yet, give it a chance. It's a fun one.
You really kind of turned into a flatulent sommelier.
A bit, yeah.
Picking out the just right sounds that were needed at each point during that episode.
I'm trying to remember some of the names of the files that it would be like secret and silent. The way they come up to describe the various sounds, you're like, okay, well, I could see like muddy fart. That might be the one for right here. That could work. And then meanwhile, Jess is in the other room like, what's happening in there?
I'm picturing all the names of those files being analogous to firework names. Massive fountain of youth.
Uh-oh, babe, I gotta go. I've got a Roman candle on the way.
So, yeah, Brian Bethel, please respond.
Yeah, this will definitely convince him. Yeah.
Or I might just start sending you a link to the Mad Gasser episode daily.
Yeah, there you go. Make it a threat. Welcome on. All right, Brian Bethel. Sorry.
Day 1347. He finally has given in.
We finally heard back and it just says, stop emailing me.
So he's a journalist in Abilene, Texas.
Okay.
And again, this is 1996. It was late at night. He got out of work late. He needed to go pay a couple bills in the night drop box.
Yeah.
And so he drove to the strip mall that had his cable company in that strip mall.
Okay.
Also in the strip mall was a theater that will become important. He gets there. It's kind of late. It's not super late. We're talking, you know, maybe 10:30 at night. And he starts writing a check. And then suddenly he just notices that feeling like the hair on the back of your neck standing up.
Yeah.
That sixth sense.
Something's off.
Yeah. Something's off here. So he looks up and he sees two teenagers standing pretty close to his car.
Okay.
He said one looked about 9 and the other looked about 13 years old. So he rolls the window down because they're just sort of looking at him standing near the car.
And pretty late for kids that young to be out and about.
Yeah, pretty late for the kids to be out just in the parking lot of a strip mall. So he rolls the window down and says, you know, hey, what's going on? And they say,
hey, mister, we want to see a movie, but we left our money at our mom's house. Can you give us a ride so we can go get it?
Okay.
It's an honest enough request, right?
Was there midnight releases back then?
Probably in the mid-90s. Yeah. There were midnight releases. And he works out that they want to see Mortal Kombat.
Oh, nice.
Remember that? The original Mortal Kombat?
Yeah. Better than it deserves to be, but, you know.
It's kind of a classic for how bad it was.
Yeah, it's got a cult following, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah, rightfully so.
It's like that in the old Mario movie. Like, they had no idea how to make video game movies back in the day, so they were just like, Danny DeVito's Mario? Sure.
So he works out that they want to see Mortal Kombat. And this is the time, they definitely don't do this anymore, but this was back when the sort of the movies that were out and what times they were being shown, you could just see on the front of the theater.
Yeah. So I think, as you know, I worked at a movie theater and we used to have to put those letters up. And it is, you know, there's like signs that are like 50 feet up in the air and you have this like telescoping plunger and you lay the letters out and you have to like slap the letter and then raise this thing up like 50 feet up in the air over your head and try and wedge it into that space. And then, you know, there's like cars going by and watching you and stuff like that. But sometimes the letter wouldn't fall and then it would just frisbee down like a knife and you would have to dodge the letter coming down towards your face. And that was your shift, was just trying to get all those letters up on the marquee sign.
So that would take hours to do.
Yeah, yeah. It's well, I think it's supposed to have this thing that you pull to like release the suction on the like the cup on the letter, but ours was broken and Regal Cinemas can never mind, I'll save my personal opinions on them. Just never bought us a new one. So we just have letters raining down on us next to traffic.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's a good memory in hindsight if you're watching the person putting up the letters. Doing it, not quite as fun.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, so first-hand experience with the marquee.
So he looks up at the marquee that some poor teenager probably had to plunge up there. And he notices that Mortal Kombat started 30 minutes ago.
Okay.
And so he's working out. This story doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, right?
Even with trailers, you have to go somewhere and come back. You'll be like an hour into the movie.
Yeah. Go back to their mom's house, get money, come back. And he said that he's just sort of having this overwhelming sense of fear.
Okay.
So once he's kind of like, yeah, you know, no, I'm kind of busy. I don't think I'm going to do that. They start to get a little pushy about the whole situation.
I like picturing the 9-year-old like, come on, man. Come on, just drive us to mom's.
So it's not far off of that. Okay. They come back to him with,
it won't take long. We're just two little kids.
And then they finish with,
we don't have a gun.
Which, if somebody is like, trust me, bro, I don't have a gun.
It's like, he definitely has a gun.
That's like the most certain thing that's going to happen, right?
Yeah, you're right.
So he, again, is like, okay. This fear response is kicking in a little more. Mm-hmm. They're getting kind of close. They're getting a little pushy about all this. He notices that their eyes are completely black.
Okay.
There is no white. There's no iris. It's just completely like a shiny black marble.
They are sans cornea.
Yeah, sans anything.
Yeah, sure. Is it like a void or still like a ball?
Still like a ball. Like somebody took like an eyeball shaped shiny black marble.
Okay.
And so he at this point is like, okay, now I understand why I had this fear response. Something is like super off.
Yeah.
And then they start saying,
you have to let us in. We can't come in unless you tell us it's okay.
Hmm.
So they need to be invited into the car.
It's like a threshold kind of deal where you got to be like, come on in. And then something happens is the vibe.
You have to let them in. You have to give them permission to enter your space.
Okay.
He's feeling really anxious, nervous. Some primal fear is kicking in. But he also said that he felt some sort of draw, like almost like he had to let them in.
Okay.
Like some sort of sense of like being made to do things against his will.
Right. Like a telepathic kind of push.
Yeah. I don't want to go as far as mind control, but just sort of like I feel like I need to do what they're saying type of thing.
Okay. Yeah.
But he's eventually able to get past that. And he is just like, all right, I'm not worried about writing this check anymore. I'll do it in the morning. And very quickly rolls the window up and takes off.
Yeah.
And then he ends up posting it online the next year in 1997.
So this is old school internet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like in the Teeter era. Right?
Yeah, this is pre-Teeter.
Yeah, pre-Teeter.
So he posts it on some sort of message board or forum or something. I'm not sure exactly where he posted it, but he posts this online in 1997.
You said he was a journalist. Did you say where for? Did I miss that?
I don't know the specific like newspaper that he works for.
Okay.
But he's in Abilene, Texas.
But it was like a paper newspaper.
Yeah. He was a journalist for a newspaper.
I know he was like one of the early bloggers or something like that. So I was just curious what his background was.
No, he was a journalist for a newspaper in Abilene, Texas.
Okay.
And that's also where this encounter took place.
Okay.
I did do like a minute amount of research for this because I just went on Google Maps and I looked up theaters in Abilene, Texas to see if any of them were in strip malls.
Okay.
And one of them is still in a strip mall, but there's no cable company in that strip mall. So I don't know. Maybe that was one. But so he posts this on the internet the following year, 1997. And this sort of launches the whole idea of the Black Eyed Kids.
Okay.
This is where they become sort of a modern urban legend.
Do you know what website it was or forum or where he posted it?
The only thing I have is that it was on a Usenet group. I don't know what that is.
I feel like I've heard it before, but
yeah,
it doesn't really help us.
I've heard those words in that order before, but yeah. That has to be like just an early message board or something.
Usenet group. Let me see if a very speedy Google will tell us. We need an intern. Are we at that point yet where we get an intern?
Do we need an intern?
Unpaid, of course.
What would our intern's name be?
Ottoman.
Ottoman? Like the Empire?
So we could put our feet up on him and reign over him.
What?
You know an Ottoman for your couch where you...
Oh, God.
What would you want to name it?
Name it. What would a good name for an intern be? Fritz. We'll name our intern. Fritz.
And we make him dress like a German. All right. So a Usenet group is a topic-based discussion forum within the global Usenet network, a system for decentralized internet discussions that predates the World Wide Web. So,
oh, okay.
I think to simplify, it's more or less a forum discussion group.
Okay.
Yeah. We weren't too far off.
No. So he posts on that, and that launches the whole idea of the Black Eyed Kids. From that point forward, other people started coming forward with, hey, I encountered the Black Eyed Kids, et cetera, et cetera. And so more and more stories started coming out. And so I've got three or four of them to go over that we can just sort of process and then talk about just overall thoughts on the Black Eyed Kids.
Yeah, let's do it.
So the next one comes from 2010. This is the Vermont cabin encounter.
So this is a pretty good jump, right? That's like 13 years, if I math,
right? Yeah, 13, 14 years.
So is this like an urban legend that kind of has carried on since the initial, and over the years, there's just like a story here and there that keeps it alive?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Sort of like, I would say to me, it's analogous to like Slenderman.
Okay.
Where it's like, you know, it's a creepy story. There's, you know, you could go online and find 500 different encounters with Slenderman. And yeah, just sort of, if you shut off the skeptic part of your brain and just enjoy it.
Yeah, just have fun with it.
You can have some fun with it. Yeah. That's what my brain interprets the Black Eyed Kids as.
Plus, that's early enough in the internet where that stuff kind of would get some legs a little easier, I feel like, than now.
Yeah. Also, part of me just doesn't want them to exist because I would lose my mind if I actually encountered a Black Eyed Kid.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of, I can't remember if it was in the show or not, but the movie for the X-Files, they have that like black oil stuff in their eyes. So it's kind of put me on that track.
Yeah, exactly. And so with this Vermont cabin encounter, like I said, this is
2010.
And an elderly couple lived at the cabin.
Okay.
And so there's a heavy snowstorm outside. They're in a rural area, so there's not like a ton of houses around them. And they hear knocking at their front door. So they go to the front door and they open it. And there are standing two kids, a boy and a girl. They don't know the exact age, but they said they were 12 or maybe a little younger than 12. Mm-hmm. They notice immediately that they're not dressed for the weather. They don't have heavy coats on. They don't have, you know, hats, gloves, scarves.
I was picturing just like a Hawaiian t-shirt or something really off for the season. A little odd.
Yeah, they're not dressed for the season. And the children immediately are like,
our parents won't be here soon. Can we come in?
And so being the nice elderly couple, they let them in. And this is the only story I could readily find that involved somebody actually letting them enter their space.
Okay.
they let them in, and they said the minute they came into the house, they started having that really uneasy feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Something's off.
What were the kids doing that triggered that, or just that sixth sense kind of thing going? Like, we've made a mistake.
Yeah, just initially, just that sixth sense. Like, once they cross the threshold, something just isn't okay.
Yeah.
But they said when they came in, the kids were acting pretty odd.
Okay.
They sat on the couch. They like didn't move at all. They avoided answering any questions. They weren't interested in any kind of small talk. They were just sitting on the couch kind of motionless.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when the wife notices, guess what? Their eyes are completely black. She said, there's no whites. The iris is the colored part of your eye, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to keep saying that incorrectly.
Pupil is the black part, iris is the color, and then the cornea is the white bit.
Okay, good. Because I was listening back to, I think it was the Sam the Sandown Clown episode.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, I said someone could care less. And I just like balled my fist up and shook it at the sky when I heard that back. I was like, how did I mess that up? So I want to get on making sure I'm saying iris, referring to the right thing tonight.
Yeah, I think you're good. If not, I'll just overdub you.
Iris.
I'll just say all the parts of the cornea, retina.
Pupil. The pupil was...
I got to between those. We'll make it.
What's the fluid in the eye?
Virtuous humor.
Virtuous humor.
If I got that right, where would I even? Yeah, let's go with it. I'm not going to look it up. I'm going to full trust in my
humor.
It sounds like a military mission.
It sounds like a really bad comedy show.
One with, it'll be like very clean jokes. I'm just like, God, this is lame.
Yeah. Get a little more controversial.
What's the deal with all these shirts being unpressed?
Did anybody notice that V's are getting just too deep these days?
I'm sweating all down here in my chest.
I don't know those characters we're coming up with, but we'll have to workshop them a little bit.
Yeah, one of these days we'll just do a whole episode of stand-up comedy.
And then we'll finally underperform Matt Gasser. That'll be the goal with that episode, is to see how few views we can get.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I like that idea.
Real terrible. Yeah. Okay, so the kids are on the couch. Not moving. Wife notices eyes are completely black.
Completely black. And at this point, the husband starts feeling really weak and really sick.
Okay.
So the husband is like, suddenly an intense flu comes on.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts feeling terrible. And it said that about halfway through the kids coming into the house, the old man, he starts getting a nosebleed that just won't stop.
He's getting dunked on.
Yeah.
And the wife is like, hey, I think their eyes are black. And then she turns and he's like throwing up on himself and like cleaning up his nose. So nothing happened to her physically.
And so the husband is just kind of out of it. And the wife, despite the oddness, is trying to be a good host. So she goes to get the kids some drinks, you know, a glass of water or something.
Capri Sun.
Little hug.
Little hugs. Sorry, Lil.
Little hugs.
That should be your rapper name.
Little hugs.
If we get you on one of these tracks that we have started making, then you're Little Hugs.
If you need a guest appearance from Little Hug, let me know.
Yeah, all right. I think we can figure something out there.
He raps very high pitched.
Sam the Sandown Clown featuring Lil Hugs. Jess just popped in flicking me off. Real classy. I think that's my sign that we're being too obnoxious.
Well, she just wants to get on the track too.
Yeah. Okay, so the husband's just like getting wrecked from these kids, it sounds like.
And the wife goes to get them something to drink. She goes to get them the Little Hug.
Yeah, right. There we go.
And when she comes back, she notices they're not on the couch anymore. So she walks around the house trying to find them, and she notices
her husband's gone too?
I'm picturing him just sort of like half dead in a rocking chair. Not rocking chair, half dead in a recliner.
Yeah.
Little did he know.
Why are you so against it being a rocking chair?
Rocking chairs go on the front porch. This is a recliner. But the room's empty, and she sees that the kids have gone down to the far end of the hall, and they're just sort of down there whispering to each other. So she then goes to approach them to give them their drinks, and they turn around and they very abruptly and suddenly announce,
"Our parents are here."
They immediately then walk to the front door, walk out the front door, and the couple notices they walk down to the end of the driveway, and a large black car pulls up. Two tall men in dark suits step out and open the doors. The kids get in. Are you still there?
Yeah, but your video went away for some reason.
Your video went, oh, okay. Oh, there we go. I think maybe I was using my hands too much. It like went blank and I got a notification that was like, stop using hand gestures.
Cool it on the gesticulation, David. You're throwing off the whole, yeah.
So two tall, dark men. Oh, God. Two tall men in dark suits step out of the car. They open the doors. They let the kids in, and then the car drives away.
All right, so I'm going to try and drop a term that I don't think we've used yet.
Okay.
But I think is correct. So a couple spooks? Isn't that like men in black suits from the government? Aren't they referred to as?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
That's
I thought you would know more than me.
We got to check that. No, I think you're right. I would not have known that piece of trivia.
Yeah. See?
All right.
Slowly bringing a little more to this thing.
All right. Open the Google machine. Evan's going to fact check the term spooks. My prediction is he's either going to be completely right or it's going to be a wildly racist term for some group of people.
What do you just search? Like, what is a spook? A ghost? A spy? A ghost or a spy?
A ghost or a spy? There we go.
Yeah. So it covers a little bit of both. What is a spook? Slang for CIA? An undercover agent or a spy. Yeah.
Okay. So I think you're right on that one then. So the kids get into the car, drives off. So that's story number two, the Vermont cabin encounter.
So the kids just get picked up by their quote unquote parents. And then the couple just goes back in and that's kind of that. Or at least as far as we know in the story.
Yeah, as far as that's kind of where that story ends is they just get picked up in this mysterious way and then...
They showed up, they got their little hugs and bounce. Yeah. Sounds like, like, all right, we got it, let's get out of here. That's what they're whispering about down the hall. We got our drinks, let's get out of here.
So that's story number two.
Yep, that's the end of the Vermont Cabin chapter from 2010. Where are we going next?
We're going a year earlier, 2009.
Okay.
Camp Lejeune, North Kakalaka.
I thought you were going to say France.
Northern France.
Camp Lejeune. Wait, that's not.
Camp Lejeune.
I shouldn't. Hello, oui, oui, there is a ghost here. That doesn't sound like French people.
For some reason, whenever I try to do a foreign accent, I just immediately start saying foods that are in that region. Like, if you ask me to do a French accent, I'm going to start talking about croissants.
Would you like a hamburger?
Croissant.
Oui, oui. I just like wee wee. That's how they say yes is a classic. Camp Lejeune?
Lejeune. I think that's how you say it. Lejeune.
What the? Lejeune.
I just feel like at some point I heard like
Lejeune.
George Bush say it. And he probably said it wrong.
I wouldn't base pronunciation on.
Right. That's probably why I pronounce so many things wrong because
Hey guys, we're going to Camp Lejeune.
My gold standard for pronouncing words is George W. Bush.
Yeah, I would pivot. I would pivot hard from that. Camp David was his peak vernacular, I think, where he's like, all right, I got this one, y'all.
Maybe that's why, because he could say my name correctly.
Yeah, that's why you became a fan.
Camp Lejeune.
Camp David.
So this is, again, 2010. This is called the Military Barracks Encounter.
Okay.
So this is taking place middle of the night at a Marine barracks on camp. And the Marine that is standing watch that night starts hearing just a persistent knocking at the front door.
So is the barracks, that's where they sleep, or is that the whole camp?
That's where they sleep, as far as I know. I'm not...
Like their quarters or whatever, right? Like where their downtime is.
Yeah, and this is the middle of the night, so everybody's sleeping.
Yeah, they should be sleeping. Okay, so let's go with that.
Yeah, other than the folks that are on guard duty, or whatever they call that.
Right.
So this Marine, he starts hearing a persistent knocking at the door, and he figures it's just another Marine or somebody coming in late. So he heads on over, and he opens the door, And outside of the door, he finds two very pale children, a boy and a girl. And he said they were 10 to 12 years old.
Were they in fatigues?
They were not military personnel.
Reporting for duty, sir. I'll pitch that one up too to sound like.
Yeah, there you go.
Reporting for duty, sir.
One of them is an early bloomer.
Yeah, very. It was like a Barry White situation.
10 years old and 5 foot five.
So he's two pale children, boy and a girl, 10 to 12 years old. And he's just kind of like confused, dumbfounded. You know, these kids should not be on a military base. How did they get here? And before he can even really say anything, they ask,
"Hey, mister, could we come inside and use the phone?"
And at this point, you might be picking up on the pacing of these stories. He starts feeling a deep sense of
dread. But also, I feel like I need to let them in.
Right.
They're children. They need to use the phone. Probably need to call their parents.
Right.
I'm assuming here. I don't know.
Yeah. No, you're right. He starts feeling a deep sense of dread, but also this sort of just pull to go along with what they're saying.
Yeah.
So he described it as just a deep, irrational fear. So another like primal fear situation. So this is me when I am click, 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 going up the hill on a roller coaster.
Oh, I thought you're loading your revolver.
Oh, God.
Sorry. No, that makes more sense.
Yeah. When I am on a roller coaster, you know, over the hill, going down, around the turns, all of the like actually should be scary stuff, totally fine with that. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But while that cart or whatever you call the thing that you're on a roller coaster is clicking up the hill.
Yeah. The tension build is
the most primal fear reaction. It's like the second that thing leaves the wheelhouse,
yeah,
my heart's racing. I'm like, I gotta get out of here.
I love roller coasters. I get way motion sick kind of now, so I like do my best, but I do love to act totally insane on them so everybody has a better time. So if you ever hear anybody just like wigging out up front, it's probably me screaming in falsetto because I just feel like it brings a good vibe, a good energy to the trip for everybody.
I like that about you. That's
oh my God, we're all gonna die.
So that's this guy. He's standing there. You know, he's a Marine. He's on guard duty. He's armed. And two younger children are standing outside the door just asking to come in and use the phone. They're not even being threatening, but he is having like a deep fear response to this.
Did they say who they wanted to call?
They did not say who they wanted to call. They just asked if they could come in and use the phone.
Okay.
And so after he has this really intense fear response, he notices their eyes are completely black.
So I was a little slow on that one.
And this one has the note, actually. I put the note in here. The iris, the pupil, the sclera are all black.
Maybe that's our Black Eyed Peas song. It's like, the iris, the pupil. Oh, we'll work on that.
The victorious humor. What was that?
virtuous
humor.
The virtuous humor. That'll be the name of the track. Yeah.
Virtuous humor. Oh, I'm trying to think of how we could do a take on Let's Get It Started in Here.
I was just going to say, Jess is going to walk by and just hear me in here with the door closed, like, "Let's get it started. Huh?" Just a minute.
So after he sort of explains to them, like, you can't come in, you're on a military base, you're not supposed to be here, they just keep repeating their request.
Please let us in. We won't hurt you.
We definitely don't have a gun.
The Marine starts feeling more and more a pull towards letting them in.
He's not getting sick or anything, though, like the other guy.
He's not getting sick. They haven't entered his space yet. He hasn't let them in yet. But he said he's feeling a pull of like, I should be letting them in.
Okay. And that's right. The previous one that you told, once they cross the threshold, that's kind of when the older dude kind of, his health deteriorated instantly.
Entered his space. Yeah. That's when that happened. After a few more minutes or a few more seconds of this, let us in, please let us in, and him feeling like, oh, I'm supposed to be doing this, he kind of snapped back to reality. Oop, there goes gravity. And
I really hope that's written in your notes.
And he
Eminem reference here.
And he realizes I need to just get away from this situation. So he very quickly goes back in and shuts the door behind him.
I like that he's that scared too when he's probably surrounded by like 100 Marines.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's
which I guess should show you how scary or off-putting or how much dread is kind of. It's like, hey, guys, you got to wake up. There's 2 9-year-olds out front. They're like, dude, we're trying to sleep.
So he slams the door behind him. And then he sort of goes back to the door to look through the window. And he said they're just gone.
Okay.
They've disappeared. They either ran off or they vanished into thin air. Or he doesn't know. But they're just gone when he goes back to the window.
So where did the, is this story on the same forum or is this just part of the documented history of people who have said they've seen these kids, more or less?
Yeah. I think that Usenet forum where Brian Bethel posted the original one, I think that was the only like Black Eyed Kids story that was on that platform.
Okay. Speaking of urban legends, like anywhere and everywhere is kind of fair game for a story to come from.
Yeah. I don't think it's as obvious as like John Teeter posting on timetravelerforums.com. I don't think these are all posted on like blackeyedkidsstories.com.
Yeah, a little less on the nose. Fair.
Yeah, but they're posted on like, you know, creepypasta forums, things of that nature.
Yeah.
So the next one is called, and I think this is my last one, and then we'll go over some themes and thoughts and stuff about just Black Eyed Kids in general.
Okay.
So this one is called The Nodic Sciences Encounter.
Nodic?
I think that's how you say that word. N-O-E-T-I-C.
Okay. It's about to feel pretty bad for a few gentlemen if...
Oh, God. Not, I mean, I imagine the Pump King would feel bad for them. Yeah,
the Pump King would feel very bad for the Nodic tribe or what were those? The Nodic community?
Oh, the Pump King sends the Nodic Society his regards. So N-O-E-T-I-C.
Got it, I guess.
Nodic. No-tick.
Noted. Sorry. That's...
So this is Portland, Oregon.
What year?
Again, around the same time, 2010.
Okay.
So 2010, Portland, Oregon, and this is just outside the Institute of Nodic Sciences. This is a group of people that study consciousness and paranormal phenomenon.
Oh, so they're showing up on the doorstep of their studiers.
They're trying. Like, what would you... They're trying to get researched. They're fan. They're fan.
Fanboys of. Yeah. Yeah. They're not. They're the.
So,
they're just outside the institute.
Yeah.
That studies.
So this is a man. He had been at a late meeting at the institute and he leaves later in the evening, again, probably like 10:30, maybe 11 p.m. After an evening discussion. And he goes out to his car in the parking lot and two boys, he said they were maybe early teens, approach him. And they had their hoodies pulled up over their heads. So immediately, you know, they're up to no good.
Yeah.
Hoodies pulled up over their heads. And the bigger of the two kids says an emotionless voice,
"Can you give us a ride?"
And they explained that they needed to go somewhere to meet their mother. They didn't explain why or necessarily where. But again, we need a ride somewhere. Can we get into your car?
Like Mortal Kombat 2 is out, so we gotta, you know, if you don't mind.
Right, we gotta go check this out. Get over here. The man immediately feels just a wave of dread.
Have they all been boys the whole time?
No, so the Vermont cabin was a boy and a girl, and the Marine encounter was a boy and a girl.
And then the first one...
First one, two boys, and this one, two boys. Yeah, so... He immediately feels that wave of dread. So he doesn't like start talking to them really and then feel it. This is like immediately he starts feeling a wave of dread and he's like, something isn't right. And he noticed the kids were just way too calm and way too insistent for their age.
Yeah.
They just keep asking him insistently, but very calmly.
Can you give us a ride? Can we get in your car? We need to get home to our mother.
And this is when he looks at them and he notices eyes are completely black.
There we go.
No whites. No irises. No
all
vitreous humor.
No vitreous humor. There should be no iris, no cornea, all pupil. Welcome to the No Dick Institute.
So he said that at this point, his fear sort of turned from just like a deep wave of dread to like a fear you would have when you're in the presence of something inhuman. So you in the room with a clown.
Yeah.
Okay. Think about the fear that you would have there. That's what he said. The fear sort of shifted from just like something's off to like, I need to get out of here.
Yeah. I'm physically uncomfortable. I don't like it.
Yeah. I'm interacting with something that should not exist.
Make it be gone. Yeah.
And so they continue to insist.
You have to let us in your car. You have to give us a ride to our mom's house.
And he said that he didn't necessarily feel that sense of, I have to give in to them. I need to grant their request. He said he felt more paralyzed. So he had sort of a freeze response to the fear.
Yeah.
But he was able to get through the paralysis. He said he ran to his car without answering them. And locked the doors and took off. And after he took off, he looked in the rearview mirror and the parking lot was empty. There were no people in the parking lot. The boys had disappeared.
So it sounds like anytime you resist the threshold crossing, they kind of just disappear. And then if you let them in, you get really sick.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So quite a few themes going on through all of these stories.
Yeah, definitely some overlap. So I'm curious to hear what you've got for the theme part here.
So the first theme is probably, I mean, the most obvious one is that they have to be given permission to enter your space.
Yeah.
And that's a very vampire thing.
That was going to be my question is like, you're the cryptid expert / paranormal here. What other creatures or monsters, et cetera, need to be invited in before they can do what they do?
There are other niche creatures and stuff out there, but as far as the like have to have an invitation in, vampires is kind of the mainstream answer to that question.
Okay. So how do they normally, they just show up at your door or wherever and are like, hey, I have some reason to come in, but once you let them in, they can then bite your neck or wherever.
So vampires are usually portrayed as like very charming, very cunning,
very sexy
and intelligent.
Yeah.
And so it's less of like a knock on your door and be like, do you want to buy this vacuum? Let me show you how it works. Can I come in? And it's more of like,
you've been schmoozed over the course of the evening and you're like, want to come home?
Yeah. Get to know you over a course of time. And then naturally have that person invite you into their space.
Okay. Are they the ones that you put down the salt for? Or like a line of salt?
No, their lines of salt, I think, are for like ghosts and demons and stuff.
Okay.
I don't know. It might be vampires too. But I know it's like garlic is what wards off a vampire.
Yeah, garlic and a wood stick to the heart.
Yeah.
That kind of deal. Okay. So they're the big ones, but any like perennial... That's not right. That's a flower that... that's the main one. The other ones we should know about?
No, that's the big one for that.
Okay.
And then the next and the most obvious theme here is the eyes, right? That's the name of this whole series of stories, the black-eyed kids. Mm-hmm. And so in every single story, the eyes are completely black, sort of shiny, glazed over, like oil. Solid black marbles. Some people describe them as possibly alien looking. Sometimes you'll see like an alien portrayed as having a completely black eye.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So that kind of thing. Like if you Google black eyed kids and you just go to images, yeah. Right? It's pretty like unsettling.
Is this a bad idea right before bed?
No, go for it. I want you to dream about black eyed kids.
Black eyed kids. Okay.
Yeah. It's an unsettling thing to look at. Like it's not.
This one looks like my nephew. That's not good. he'd fit in with them. Okay. So is there, this seems like a thematic thing that story wise, I mean, unless it was just like a fun thing. What was his name?
Brian Bethel.
Yeah, Brian Bethel just wanted to start up. Why would they have black eyes? Is it just like they see the world different? Or is there any like reason to assume that's why their eyes are the way they are?
I think it's just a story detail to add a depth of
just to be creepy.
Creepiness to it.
Yeah.
Because if it's just kids being persistent and stuff, you could still just see them as kids. But by adding the detail of their eyes being completely black, it kind of moves it into that uncanny valley of like, this is something unnatural.
And subtle enough, you would probably be like, I guess I'll still talk to you, but also like, what the hell is going on with
right.
this kid?
Because okay. if it's a kid asking you something, you're going to be more likely to want to help them.
That's true. Any adult, an adult can come to my door with normal eyes and I'm like, you got to get out of here. Get off my porch. There'll be no help.
Yeah. right. But like if a 10-year-old comes to your door and they're like, can I use your phone? You're probably going to be like, what is happening? But you'll be more likely to help them.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And that sort of moves into the next theme is just the overwhelming dread, the overwhelming sense of fear that people get in these situations because it's an irrational amount. Like a Marine on a military base with two children in front of him, just getting a primal level of fear from these kids.
Yeah, and they're like, you know, trained to, if anything, react in the complete opposite way. I don't imagine two kids normally show up to Marine and they're like,
right.
I'm not safe. Yeah.
And that kind of goes along with like demon encounters and stuff like that. So you have a touch of vampire with having to get invited in. You have a touch of demon, something supernatural with the sense of dread or fear.
I feel like it almost works against them. They need to work on that because crossing that threshold would be easier if they're just a little more polite.
Yeah, if they'd just be a little more charming.
Hello, sir. May I use your phone? Pip, pip.
It gives a sense of something inhuman trying to act human.
Yeah. And like we talked about, I think, last episode, right? It's like, that's where at least my uncomfortable sweet spot lives. It's like, I don't know, man. This guy's in my room with face paint on. This just ain't right.
Yeah.
I don't want him in here.
I think that's the theme for these creepy episodes. Like I said, I was going to do creepy stuff in October. Mm-hmm. And I'm sort of learning as I'm picking these topics and looking at them is like what I find creepy falls, I think, in line with what you find creepy in that it's like inhuman things trying to act human.
Yeah.
Because like for me, like a demon, like horns, hooves, a big grotesque face and everything. Like if I see that, I'm gonna be like, okay, it's a demon. Right. Like I'll be freaked out or whatever, but I know immediately I need to be afraid of this thing.
But especially as like skeptics, it's like, I don't think I'm gonna see a demon or a monster.
Yeah.
But I will see uncanny things where I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out why. Yeah.
And so what's like actually creepy to me, what actually scares me is not the possibility of seeing a demon.
Yeah.
What actually scares me is seeing a human that something's just off about.
Mm-hmm. Evil humans is, or just incapable of self-control humans. I'm trying to think of the right way to describe this, but
well, not even that. Like if I see a human that's just like evil, right?
Yeah.
Then be like, okay, that's an evil human. But like a kid that the eyes are all black and they're just acting oddly, that's gonna creep me out.
Yeah.
A 7-foot tall clown is good. It's going to creep me out. Like, that's really creepy to me.
I'm here to make the balloon animals. Like, not at this party.
Do you want to come into my berry hut and turn my dials?
Oh, hell yeah. So what's your biggest fear? This seems like a good.
My biggest fear?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't.
Or do you have a phobia, like a go-to phobia?
Phobia.
Where like, not that.
Well, I mean, my classic phobia would be drowning because I'm 37 years old and I have not a clue how to swim.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If I'm in water that's over my head, then I'm just dead. So, you know, I don't know if drowning can be an irrational fear for someone that doesn't know how to swim. But like that's one of my biggest fears is large bodies of water.
There's got to be some like paranormal stuff that can make you feel like you're take your breath away or give you that kind of sensation without it being like, somebody go get David out of the lake. He's crying.
Biggest fear paranormal wise, it would, I mean, honestly, it would probably be something like this.
Yeah.
Right. Like if I was in the woods and I had that Bigfoot encounter that my wife had, I would be excited.
I feel like you're playing the woods like, oh, we got to catch it.
I got to go see it.
Come on.
Like if I saw a UFO or something, like I would be the person running towards it to like try and see it up close.
Where we're coming from, I feel like it's more likely we'll see something like that. It's inching towards believability where I'm like, okay, could be just a weird kid with a condition I've never heard of where he has no corneas
yeah,
and no virtuous humor.
Cause like even like a ghost, like, you know, people are terrified of the possibility of seeing a ghost. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I remember there was one time probably 5 or 6 years ago where we were at the beach and sort of the layout of the house is kind of different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was laying in the master bed watching TV or something.
Yeah.
And my wife had gone out the door and I presumed that she had went downstairs to like check on the kids or do something, whatever. And so I'm sitting there and then from another door in the room, my wife walks in.
Okay.
Like she went out the door to go downstairs, lay out of the house. Like this is totally possible to do.
It's like an MC Escher situation.
But like in my brain, she had gone downstairs. And so then in my peripheral vision, I see someone walk in from the bathroom.
Yeah.
And there was like a split second when I thought I was seeing a ghost.
Okay.
And my honest to God reaction was excitement. Like I turned, like you could ask her about this. I turned to look at her thinking I was about to see a ghost, like with a really excited face on.
Yeah. I like how she would be like, oh, he's so excited to see me. And you're like, oh.
I thought you were a ghost.
Never mind.
So yeah, paranormal, like to your point, I think that the fact that it's more likely to see someone with just something off about them.
Yeah.
Like the possibility of that actually happening scares me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's more like I could see that happening to me more likely than probably most of the stuff we've talked about so far.
Yeah.
Apart from the clown on the golf course, because, you know, odds are pretty good that'll happen to me someday.
And then the last sort of theme is the mysterious departures.
Yeah.
That they're just sort of gone afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
There's the one instance in Vermont where they got in the car with like the spooks.
Mm-hmm.
And took off. And that was also the only encounter where they were invited inside. And so I don't know if there's some connection between they're invited inside, so they get picked up by...
That's a good point. That's the only time we ever see them get picked up, right? Is
yeah.
Yeah, they made it in.
All the other ones, they just sort of either disappear into thin air or like just take off. Because I think each one of those instances, there would have been enough time for them to just like run off, but they just sort of are gone.
Maybe they're testing their, like you said, they have that sense of dread and then like pushing people to get in. They're testing their ability to, I know you said it wasn't mind control, but maybe it's their way to kind of telepathically persuade, if you will. They made it in. Kind of test complete.
Okay.
Spooks come and get them. But the other ones, mission failed basically. So they just are like out. I don't know why they wouldn't still come get them though. But
so it's some sort of like coming of age test.
That could be
where it's like, okay, you're entering your teenage years. You need to learn these skills.
Yeah.
Go convince someone to let you in. And if they fail, they just go on to the next person until eventually somebody lets them in.
Until they're able to finally get in.
And then the adults or whoever come and pick them up and they're like, hey, test passed, et cetera,
et cetera.
And
just drive off. Yeah.
That's a good thought.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's the only time they got picked up is basically mission success.
Yeah.
The rest, they just kind of vanished. But I can't think of why else that would be a thing.
Now, I do have a theory on like what their goal is.
Okay, what's that?
Based on, again, the Vermont cabin encounter where they let them in and that it's like almost vampiric in nature,
mm-hmm.
where it's some sort of like taking the life force of the people that let them in.
Okay.
And so like they were taking the life force of the old man.
Yeah.
And maybe because he was already elderly, it like really hit him all of a sudden.
He drew the short straw, and they're like, "We don't care about the wife.
Yeah, she's gonna get us our little hugs. Yeah. Let's steal the old man's.
Yeah, we're gonna
life
be real
first.
Thirsty after we're done with this guy.
Yeah,
so we'll send her into the kitchen.
It's something of that nature. Like if you invite them in, they're gonna steal your life force or whatever.
Yeah,
that's kind of the feeling that I have about it.
Okay,
so
yeah, no, I like that. Cool. So do you know what the most recent sighting of them is? Is there one like in the last year or two, or did it wind down like the mid 2010s or whatever you would call that?
Yeah, there's, you know, you could find stories online of one that happened like last month, probably. They sort of all over the place, but there was like a big spike in them from like 08 to 12.
Okay.
That's kind of when the Black Eyed Kids became like a popular thing or like a known topic.
Yeah.
Like I said, you can go online and find stories from whenever, but the ones I had tonight are sort of the most popular stories of the Black Eyed Kids.
Yeah.
Probably because a lot of the other ones are like extremely poorly written, because a lot of them is probably like 13-year-olds that are like, "And then he said, 'Can I have your Reese cup?' I said no, but he was persistent.
Next thing I know, I'm handing over the whole bag.
I felt scared."
Yeah. And I think, especially with like urban legend territory, the duds aren't really going to carry on too far probably, but kind of like the story with the hook hand guy, and then they think they hear the scratching on the car.
Yeah.
And then, so if the storytelling is good, it seems to resonate and kind of stick around. But yeah, maybe it's been less of a focus over the last, 5 or 10 years, I guess.
I have to comment on the hook hand.
Yeah.
It's October. We're watching scary movies, and we decided we're going to watch like the classic scary movies from like our lives.
Yeah.
So not like The Exorcist and Poltergeist and stuff. Yeah. We're watching Scream right now.
Nice.
We're like halfway through that. But we just got done with I Know What You Did Last Summer.
That was one of the first R movies I saw, I remember. Yeah.
And that is a horrible movie.
Oh, really? I loved it as a kid.
It's so bad. I know, right? Me too. I like went into it like, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
It was such a bad movie.
I think it's amazing how that stuff, like, man, I bet it holds up pretty well. And you go back like, this is so bad. I'm sorry I made us all watch this.
It was over and we both looked at each other and were like, I'm not sure how any of that works, like plot wise.
Have you guys seen any that have held up?
So far, Scream is holding up pretty well. Okay. Like, it's a pretty decent movie. We're about halfway through that.
I haven't seen that one in a long time. Well, they rebooted that one recently, too, but I haven't seen any of the new ones.
Yeah, there have been a few, I think 3 or 4 of those probably. And then I forget what's next on the list.
I'm trying to think of, I know we watched Scream. I know we did Last Summer was definitely in there. I mean, 28 Days Later is pretty solid.
That's a good one.
But that's a little less in camp world.
Yeah, we're going for like campy teen horror flicks.
Cabin in the Woods, I think, is my favorite in that kind of
that's a fun
space.
Movie.
Yeah, that's a great one.
I always thought that they were like creatively too early on that, because I feel like if somebody came out with that concept now, it would be like a super good just series.
Yeah.
Where like every episode they reveal the whole like twist situation.
Yeah.
Right. And so like the viewer is aware of that, but every episode you're playing the role of one of the staff and you're like guessing what things are going to get triggered and seeing how it all plays out and everything.
Yeah, it could easily be a series, I think. Yeah.
But yeah, so we're going through horror movie month right now.
Nice. I mean, a good time to do it.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. Is there anything else we need to get into for Black Eyed Kids, or should we just wish a happy Halloween and then send everybody off with the Black Eyed Peas track?
I do have one thing.
Yeah, what you got?
That I probably should have said at the top, but I'll say it right here. If you're listening to this on the day it comes out, October 27th is the release date for this one. If you're listening to it on October 27th, we have a giveaway going on Instagram. You have about 24 hours tomorrow, the 28th. We're going to be picking the winner, but we were able to join with Busky Cider. They're a hard cider company in Richmond, Virginia. And so I'm giving away either a $25 gift card to Busky or 2 Busky glasses, because I know a lot of the people that listen to this are local to Central Virginia, because I've peer pressured so many individuals into listening to this.
Yep, same.
And so if you are local, you can get the gift card. If you're not, if you're somewhere else, anywhere in the United States, unfortunately, I can't ship internationally. But if you're somewhere else in the United States, I can buy a couple glasses and I'm happy to ship those to you. So all you have to do to enter is follow us on Instagram, Oddity Archive Podcast, and follow Busky Cider on Instagram. And so if you go on our Instagram, they're tagged all over that post. So you can just click on them and follow them as well. But that's the only thing you need to do to enter. So if you're interested, head on over there, follow both accounts. And tomorrow, the 28th, I'll be picking a winner. And this is maybe the best odds you're ever going to have at winning a giveaway, because we have less than 100 followers right now. So you have a better than 1% chance of winning this.
And after the Black Eyed Peas track drops, like, I mean, we're going to be swimming in followers. Like, next giveaway is going to be way
tougher. It's true.
So definitely get in on this one. And I used to live down the street from Busky. It's a really cool spot. So if you're in Richmond, definitely go check them out. They're great. They've got like board games and all that kind of good stuff and a good space to kind of hang out in. So definitely look into them. But yeah, awesome that they were down to kind of partner up.
Yeah, for sure. And with that, we'll see you on the next one.
Yeah, but happy Halloween, everybody. Be safe, have fun, all that good stuff. And yeah, we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's get it spooky in here.
Come in.
Black-eyed kids are come in.
Start to feel a gaze and I look out of my window. See two kids, but there's something about their eyes though. Claim they're here for a movie Mortal Kombat. Hard to believe when their eyes are looking pitch black. Can't take any more, gas pedal to the floor. But when I look back, those black-eyed kids, they're nowhere to be seen.
Now let me kick it off to Lil Hugs.
All right, here we go.
In the kitchen, nothing cooking. Mixing Metamucil, then a knock at a door. Sudden dread, it doesn't still crack it open. I see these kids looking thirsty. Meanwhile, look over, Emmett looking green. And his stomach is hurting. Go to snacks and Lil Hugs, hand it to these kids. But ooh, men in black suits, yeah, they do show up. See tail lights fade, I guess we're good. Apart from Emmett's soil pants, leaving me shook.
David Stooldreyer, creator and host. The show is edited by my co-host, Evan Miller. All original music created by Sean Bullock. You can follow him at Sean Bullock Video on Instagram. All original artwork done by Tannis. Follow her at Tannis Tattoos on Instagram as well. Thank you for listening.